Straight Talk on WRHI is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill, Manning Kimmel.
And welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. My name is Manning Kimmel. The program is called Straight Talk, and we do it every weekday afternoon, talking about Rock Hill, Fort Mill, TKK, the great county of York, and everything else up and down I-77. And we do it right here on WRHI, South Carolina's seven-time radio station of the year. Our broadcast presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, always ready. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill, as is highspeedweb.net. This streams our signal 24/7, 365. And back with us, the Honorable, the one, the only, Dr. Jim Rex. How are you, Jim?
Fine, Manning. My head's getting a little big right now. I've got to kind of hold it with both hands, but thank you for the introduction.
Well, you know, for those who have not had a chance to meet you, you really have an interesting background. You've been very involved in education. You formerly did a stint or tour of duty at our neighbor across the street here, Winthrop University. You were head of the College of Education? Wrong.
In Winthrop? Yeah, I was the dean, right.
Dean of the College of Education. Then you were the state superintendent of education for a period of time. Then you ran for governor.
Correct.
And from that experience, which didn't work out the way you wanted it to, you and Oscar Loveless have gone ahead and created the American Party, which is an alternative to the two-party system that we have right now.
The only thing I would edit is it wasn't the running for governor so much. It was the 4 years in office as a constitutional officer, watching how the system does not work.
Sausage and, being made.
Yes, and how both parties are equally responsible for the dysfunction.
So the actual formation of the American Party dates back how many years now?
We were certified in January of 2014.
2014.
And we began our petition drive to get what ended up to be 16,000 signatures from all 46 counties in early 2013. So it took us about a year to get the party certified.
And I might add, the 16,000 you got was way over what you needed.
Correct. 10,000 is required in our state.
Yeah, you did very well. And you have fielded candidates in the past.
We have.
And they have come from all different parts of the state, vying for particular states' seats, not only locally, when I say locally, district, state senate, state house.
Right.
But you also have fielded them for the United States
Congress. For Congress. We had a presidential candidate, vice presidential candidate, the U.S. Senate, U.S. Congress. The party, since 2014, has garnered nearly 200,000 votes for its candidates on the ballot. So we're, depending on how you count it, we're maybe the third largest party in the state right now.
Well, and I think you're making progress, and it's very interesting. The more of the shenanigans that goes on down in Washington, the more people are looking for an alternative.
That's true. It doesn't please me, though, as an American. We knew things were in bad shape. We saw that during the petition drive when those 16,000 South Carolinians from every political persuasion you can imagine said that they were fed up with voting for the lesser of two evils and wanted more choices. We knew we were heading in the wrong direction, but frankly, Manning, it's accelerated. It's gotten worse faster than I ever imagined.
So a piece comes across my computer screen here a couple of weeks ago about what's going on in Colorado, which is very interesting. There's a group out there called the Centrist Project that did a survey, and that survey showed some very interesting numbers about how disgruntled the voters are out there.
Yeah, this Centrist Project began a few years ago really with a book called the Centrist Manifesto, which was written by an academic who believed at that time that, the two extremes that were governing the two parties, the Democrats and the Republicans, were actually doing damage to the country and that we needed to find a way to elect a more quote-unquote centrist, people who we're not in one extreme or the other, but we're in the broad center where most of us are on most issues as Americans. And what they have found in Colorado is really what we have found nationwide, and that is that we now have in this country a new majority, and that's independents.
Right.
The most recent poll I saw, which was done in the latter part of the summer, 46% of us identified ourselves as independents. Now, that's nearly twice as many as identify themselves as either Republicans or Democrats. In the millennials, which is now, because of their aging process, has become the largest voting segment in our nation. Nearly 70% identify themselves as independents. Mm-hmm. So we've got a clear majority who are saying they know what they don't want. They don't want to be forced to choose between these two binary choices, Republicans and Democrats, but the system doesn't really accommodate them because of the way it's rigged.
So with that being said, and with all this data that very favorably is supporting what you have been trying to bring into reality, which is an alternative, where does that put the American Party here as far as South Carolina?
Well, the American Party, excuse me, has from the very beginning tried to be more than just a third party. It's tried to represent a different approach to politics. And that different approach really does dovetail well with the sentiment of the centrist effort, as well as with what these polls are showing. We have never told our candidates what their positions had to be on any particular issue or topic. This party does not prescribe that. And I think I've shared with you before when I've been on your program that one of the first things that during the petition drive people would ask us is, I like the idea of a new choice, a different approach. But by the way, where will your candidates stand on abortion? Or where will they stand on gay rights? Or where will they stand on guns? Or where will they stand? Eventually, right. They get to these important issues, single issues in many cases. And our answer was then, and it still is, that in many cases, we can't answer that question because we do not have a litmus test for our candidates regarding those issues. You'll have to ask the candidate. And three things will happen when you do that. Number one, you'll be surprised. They'll tell you the truth, not just what the room wants to hear, which is what you're getting now, and most
right.
people know that.
Sure.
Number two, they'll tell you how they would vote on that issue if they're elected and for some reason called upon to do it. And by the way, most of the time people get elected are never called upon to vote on those issues. And number three, they'll also tell you pretty quickly that if that's the only issue you're going to place your vote on, that's the only thing you're going to take into consideration, you're looking for a champion who will spend all their time and effort and energy on that one issue, they're not your candidate, and this is not your party. So from the very beginning, this party has tried to be more prescriptive around behavior of the candidates, as well as if they're elected, how they'll perform in office. And we've done that through term limits. As you know, we require, monitor term limits. We're looking for public servants, not people who want a career in politics,
right.
And we allow them to stay in office if they choose to a little more than a decade, but that's it. And they can't change their mind because they're not allowed to run again. We also require them to be transparent in terms of where their money's coming from, not just while they're running for office, but if in office, they have to once a year publicly disclose all outside sources of income, as well as the amount of money. That's a game changer, too. We also expect them to treat people with courtesy and with civility and dignity, individuals as well as groups. And we expect them to be honest. Be nice to have people that didn't lie to you. So we monitor that behavior, and there are actually some repercussions if they don't follow those principles. Of course, the big one is they're not allowed to run again under the banner of the American Party. We've all heard the deafening silence of the parties on behaviors of their candidates. There's nothing even approaching a warranty. I mean, with sexual harassment or corruption or stealing or you name it, the parties are silent. These are the people they have been advocates for, that they've spent billions of dollars in some cases or millions anyways getting elected. And yet when those people transgress, there's absolute silence. So this party is focused on trying to create problem solvers, people who are interested in representing their constituents, not a party and not a group of donors or lobbyists.
And with all that is going on in Washington right now, it is amazing to me that you haven't seen your roles just blow up in terms of, yes, we want to be part of the American Party, because it's just incredible the numbers of people who are caught in this scandal or that scandal, and then to know and finally realize that the congressional system was one that would actually take taxpayers' money to resolve these cases and put them to bed is just unbelievable.
Well, not just in Washington. We spent a bunch of money in Columbia, South Carolina, too, shutting up accusers
right.
with taxpayer money.
Mm. So with all that being said, when I go back to what this centrist party survey is talking about out in Colorado, They're indicating that 78% of respondents believe independent candidates can represent all of the people, not just those from their party. Yet you were mentioning to me that they're not structured really as a party. It's just they want the independents to do the independent thing.
Yeah, and, you know, how do you define an independent? There are partisans. There will always be partisans. But I think most of us, if we're pushed, are really independents. You know, we want to vote for the person who we think can get the job done, who can solve problems, move the country or the state or the district forward. But the parties have rigged the system so much that it's very difficult, even for this new majority who know they are independents, who believe that they, you know, would like to exercise that choice. When they go to the ballot box and vote, there are basically two choices. And they've been conditioned by the parties and the big money that's spent to believe that they have to vote for the lesser of two evils. And increasingly, it's not voting for somebody so much as it's voting against somebody. And if there's a third party or an independent, they've been conditioned to believe that that person will only be a quote-unquote spoiler, that that person will somehow enable that person they fear so much to be elected. So they kind of swallow hard, bite the bullet, and they vote for someone they really don't want, but that they are less frightened by than the opponent.
And with that being said, we're going to go ahead and take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk, right from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, always ready. And as we said, we're right here at Substation 2, where we make fresh subs and salads right before your eyes 7 days a week. And we do it by slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden. Back after these words.
News, politics, and stories that matter to you. Straight Talk.
Hey, Manning, I hear the gyros are back at Substation 2.
That's right, Alex, and they are great. They're made to order, served hot on warm, soft pita bread with creamy tzatziki sauce, onion, and tomato. And I can't wait to get one.
Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Good Pharmacy, building trust for four generations.
This is pharmacist Kia Hicklin. Enjoy our spacious new modern look and take advantage of Rock Hill's original drive-thru with pickup and drop-off service.
My mom loves Good Pharmacy.
Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue, Rock Hill.
Did you know Comporium's 1 gig ZipStream is up to 100 times faster than the average internet connection? ZipStream is designed to support multiple devices all at once without sacrificing speed. In fact, with ZipStream, you can download an entire HD movie in less than 10 seconds or 1,000 songs in about 30 seconds. And with ZipStream from Comporium, who needs hard drives? Gigabit speed makes cloud storage practical and safer than a backup of a backup of a backup. Go online to Comporium.com to see if your neighborhood is ZipStream ready.
This is Danny Rogers with Paul Davis Restoration. When you are faced with damage to your home, there's only one company you need to know, Paul Davis Restoration. Only one company with 50 years of corporate support and 20 years of local presence. Only one company with 8 trained and certified water mitigation techs on call and ready to respond to your loss 24/7, 365. There is only one company you need to know. Call Paul Davis Restoration, 803-329-1140.
Hey Alex, have you heard that Substation 2 now has gift cards?
Yeah, I just heard about that, and I'm on my way to get one now. They're perfect for holidays, birthdays, and graduations, and they're reloadable, reusable, and available in any amount you want.
Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on News Talk WRHI is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Jim Rex with the American Party is with us here today. And we're talking about, as we always seem to talk about, the dysfunctional system of government that we have right now, where we have everybody lined up as either a Democrat or Republican, and we're not satisfied with any of them. And the growing interest there is in finding an alternative, which is what the American Party is all about, correct?
Correct.
All right.
Correct.
So what we talked about in the first half of the program, these overwhelming statistics from Colorado with indicating that a clear majority, 78% of the respondents, saying they wanted another choice. They didn't like what was on the ballot right now. That caused you to sit down and do one of your infamous op-ed pieces, correct?
Correct.
So try to summarize that for us, if you would.
Well, it was basically an op-ed that suggested that because we have this new majority, which are independents, which is a growing majority. It's been going on now for over a decade. Every time we're polled, fewer of us call ourselves Republicans, fewer of us call ourselves Democrats, more of us call ourselves independents because we're fed up with those two choices. They are not allowing us to meet our new challenges or solve our longstanding problems. And maybe most importantly, they are dividing us as a nation. They're ruining the unity of our nation. So, and people understand that. So they're looking for a new choice. We think the American Party can provide that choice because of the approach we use, and especially because we're looking for public servants, not career politicians, who are going to follow the party line, but instead who are going to try to represent the best interests of their constituents.
Now, the question is, here you are, we're entering an election cycle. 2018 is going to be a big one. You'll be fielding candidates again.
Yes.
Lessons learned so far indicate, what do you have to do to get one over the top?
Well, the system is rigged. It's a multi-billion dollar system that supports the duopoly, the two-party system. I mean, there's lots of money, lots of lobbyists, lots of surrogates, lots of people making money off of maintaining the status quo. So raising money is certainly a big challenge. We don't have to raise dollar for dollar because of social media and some other new things that allow us to compete. But that's a challenge. But the greatest challenge, I think, is trying to get the American public, all of us, we've spent our entire lives, as have our parents and our grandparents, in a two-party system. We're the only democracy left on the planet that has only a two-party choice.
Right.
And, you know, it's hard for us to envision the alternative, even though we know we want one. It's kind of a crazy situation. You have all of us saying, we know what we have now doesn't work, but I can't really envision voting for a third choice because I can't envision what that third choice would look like. So my background, as you said, is in education. A big part of this challenge is education. It's trying to get people to realize that they're not, quote unquote, wasting their vote. I'll give you a quick example. We recently had an election in Alabama for U.S. Senate, and it was a fairly close election.
Sure.
The difference was about 20,000 votes. In that election, 20,000 Alabamians did a write-in. 20,000 people went to the polls knowing they were not voting for the winner. They were voting to have their vote counted, to have their vote noticed, to send a message to both parties. So it's starting to happen. People are starting to say, I'm not going to continue to support a system that is, you know, not only injurious to my interests, but injurious to the interest of the nation I love.
Now, you also mentioned that there we were talking off air about what has happened in the state of Maine in terms of looking at a new way of selecting a winner.
Right.
Explain that.
Well, it's called ranked choice voting. It's not just in Maine, but Maine's the first state to actually implement it. They had a referendum. Over 400,000 citizens of Maine voted for it. It was recently repealed, that vote, by the legislature. There again, the two-party system is going to fight to the death to maintain their monopoly. But what it does is, instead of forcing voters to pick one choice or the other, you know, either Ford or Chevy, right, they give you a list of candidates, and you vote for your first choice, your second, and your third, so that it allows you not to run the risk of having the person you dislike the most get elected. So you which is what we have now. People, that's what I said earlier, they vote against people, not for people. So you're actually voting for the person you want most, the person you would be able to live with, and then perhaps the one that you're least happy with but that you don't dislike. You don't have to vote for all three. You can only vote for one if you choose to, but you can vote for three. And that allows you to have a clear majority. Maine is one of the states where they've elected people with less than 50% when they've had more than three candidates, because people are forced to vote for only one. And so they're voting for people, putting them in office without a clear majority. So this rank voting allows you to have better representation. It also makes it easier for third party and independent candidates to get noticed and get votes.
So if you don't follow this, basically you're all three of the votes you make in Maine count.
Right.
They're going to add up all the totals, one, right, twos, and threes,
right,
and put them all together, and that will determine who the real winner is.
Correct. And it also means that you don't have what we have now with only two choices, binary choices, where you have a plurality. It can be a plurality of one vote. I mean, we have recounts when these close votes happen. But all of the other people who voted for the other candidate are totally unrepresented. They had no option in terms of saying, well, I don't want this person, but I could live with this person or this person representing me.
So here we are in 2018, and you're going to be gearing up for the fall elections and selecting candidates, but you've got to be thinking, obviously, about how am I going to raise money and get financial support behind these well-intentioned candidates to get their message out. You're right, social media will help a lot, but it doesn't take you over the goal line.
You're right. The first weekend in February, we're sending a team, I'm going to be a member of it, from the American Party to New Orleans on Tulane University's campus to a summit. It's called Unrig the System Summit. It's put on by a group that's been recently formed in the last year or so called Represent Us, U.S. And there are celebrities, there are philanthropists, there are academics, there are some politicians who are coming together in New Orleans. We're going to be a part of that. And they all have specific issues. Some are worried about gerrymandering. Some are worried about term limits. Some are worried about campaign finance. They all have, you know, parts of the system that aggravate them the most. But they're all coming to say, what can we do to change this system, systemic change?
Sure.
And the American Party is going to be in the middle of that discussion with a group of us. And I'm hoping from that we'll identify some supporters, and some of those supporters will have the financial means to start making us more competitive. That's a strategy we'll try out in the next 30 days or so.
I would say that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. Jennifer Lawrence, Hunger Games, is one of the people. There's a lot of big, quote-unquote, big money that is willing to support a different approach, a disruptor, if you will, to the system we presently have. Most of the big money goes in support of the big system we now have, the duopoly.
Sure.
For understandable reasons, lobbyists, corporations, some billionaires like the system the way it is because they benefit from it. But there are others out there now increasingly who are willing to fund alternatives, and we think that's a national movement. We hope we're going to be a big part of it.
Do you have the opportunity to get up and tell the American Party story?
I'll have some opportunities. Excuse me. we'll have to see when we get there what the program looks like. We're on it. Excuse me. We're on it, and hopefully we'll have a platform.
Well, it's interesting, again, when you go back to the formation of the American Party in South Carolina, it was you and Oscar Lovelace. You're the Democrat. He's the Republican. Both of you were frustrated with the system.
Right.
And you both worked tirelessly to come up with an alternative, which you told the story you were able to do.
And also, Manning, what you just described, I ask your listeners to think about how unusual, if not unique, that is.
Yeah. To have a Republican and a Democrat work on something together, which is for the betterment of the entire state.
But not only that, in my case, a constitutional officer, the last Democrat to be elected to a statewide office, being willing to publicly leave the party, criticize the party, criticize the system. That almost never happens. Behind closed doors, I hear it all the time. You wouldn't believe the names of people I can tell you that I've met with who said, Jim, you're right. It doesn't work. It's awful. But I can't come out publicly and say this because this, that, or the other. Once they're affiliated with a party, it's like one of these street gangs in Chicago. Yeah. You cannot leave it because they're financial interests. There are all kinds of reasons people stay in it. It's very difficult to find people who will openly criticize it once they've been in it, Republican and Democrat.
Well, and again, put your politics aside, and I don't care whether you like him or you don't like him, but you got to respect somebody like Trump who just says, the heck with all of you. I don't need your support. I'm going to do this on my own.
Trump and Bernie Sanders, I think, were a form of independence.
Yeah.
They fought the party bosses, the party structure.
Right.
Now, some of us would say that once Trump got in and said he was going to drain the swamp, it's gotten pretty moist around his feet, I think. I'm not sure much draining is taking place.
It's a big swamp.
But again, it shows you the power. It shows you the power of the parties. I mean, I saw this in Colombia. I saw good people with good motives going to office. I'd like to think I'm one of them. But the pressure of these two parties. You've got to go with the party line. You've got to vote with the party. And there are real repercussions if you don't, in terms of money, in terms of having somebody run against you in the next primary. Once you get in, it's pretty hard to get out, and you better play ball while you're in.
Well, all I can hope is that this year is going to be a banner year for the American Party, because you guys have certainly worked hard on it. And with all the frustration that there is out there now, not only in South Carolina, but across the country with what's going on, you would think people would finally stand up and say, okay, we're willing to try something else, because what we got now is not working.
People need to act. And, you know, AmericanPartySC.com is the website. You know, you can run for office. You can support a candidate. You can nominate somebody, and you can give money, as you mentioned. There are lots of ways to get involved. It's going to take more than just voting. Voting's important, but it's not enough.
Right. Well, Jim Rex, thanks for all that you're doing. I appreciate you being on the show. Happy New Year to you.
Same to you, my friend.
And that will wrap up our Straight Talk program from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax. You're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, always ready. And as mentioned, we always broadcast live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Fresh subs and salads prepared right before your eyes, 7 days a week. And you can chime in here, Jim. How do we do it now?
Slice.
Garden. There you go. Have yourself a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.